I'm Amanda Krause reporting for WRPR News.
Imagine you're out to dinner with your family. Chances are you'll spend 10 minutes pondering over the menu, your mouth watering. How can you choose one dish out of so many great options? Now imagine you're on a first date with someone new. Did they take you out for sushi? For Indian food? Some kind of food that's cool and exotic and makes it difficult which food to try?
I've never experienced either of those moments, and I most likely never will. Since I was a child, I've suffered from an eating disorder called Avoidant Restrictive Food Intake Disorder. We call it ARFID for short. I discovered that my extreme picky eating was actually an eating disorder about 2.5 years ago, but I've had the same eating habits for as long as I can remember. My parents, Tanya and Norman Krause, remember my picky eating beginning at a young age.
So when did you start noticing that I was eating, well, I wasn't eating, that I was pickier than a normal toddler?
Once we introduced you to McDonald's.
Not me.
What do you mean when you introduced me to McDonald's?
Because you started slowly just eating chicken nuggets and french fries. You would sit at the table with everybody and you wouldn't eat. You'd push food away and you said, I'm not eating that.
And what did you think about that?
You used to drop the food on purpose.
You didn't think that was weird? You didn't think there was something wrong with that?
No, I just thought you were a picky eater.
ARFID was classified as an eating disorder by the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders in 2013. Defined by the DSM as an apparent lack of interest in eating or food, ARFID is an avoidance based on the sensory characteristics of food. ARFID can result in significant weight loss, nutritional deficiency, and social anxiety and depression. Unlike more common eating disorders such as anorexia or bulimia, ARFID has absolutely nothing to do with body image or weight loss. Instead, it is the texture, sight, smell, and taste of different foods that completely repulse those that suffer from it. From the age of 3, my diet has remained almost exactly the same. For breakfast, I can only eat waffles, pancakes, or Lucky Charms. Usually, though, I'll eat chocolate chip cookies or donuts. For lunch and dinner, I'm stuck with chicken nuggets or pizza, every day and every night. Growing up, my parents and friends tormented me. My parents were terrified that I was malnourished. I can distinctly remember my mom crying to my doctor, "She doesn't eat." My doctor simply replied, "But she's healthy, right?" Still, there are days when my parents question what I consider to be a disorder.
What did you think when I told you that I thought I had an eating disorder, that it wasn't just me being a picky eater?
I thought you were being dramatic.
Do you still think that?
Sometimes.
Why? Why don't you believe that it's real?
Because you are a bit of a drama queen at times.
Okay, but what about other people that have this that aren't drama
queens? I never knew this was a real thing until you showed me.
We don't know them personally. We don't know you personally.
And that's what a lot of ARFID sufferers face, skepticism, even from those that love them the most. And if our parents have a hard time understanding what we're going through, just imagine what it's like for people suffering from ARFID to interact with friends and strangers. Growing up, going to my friends' homes for dinner was torture. My best friend's mom was always so insulted that I wouldn't eat the dinner she made. I tried to explain that though the food looked delicious, I just couldn't eat it. Still, she always took it personally. I didn't think anyone besides strangers online would ever understand what I was going through. That was until one day I got into a fight with one of my coworkers over who was the pickier eater. At the same moment, we both began to say, "Well, I have an eating disorder," and that was the moment I discovered that my friend Kyle Lucianen also knows the struggles of ARFID.
Since probably around like 5, I can say that I remember being a picky eater. I've tried new foods and it's only like a few that actually stick with my diet. The rest is either just every once in a while or just not at all ever again. I eat pizza, garlic knots, ice cream, mozzarella sticks, chicken nuggets, french fries, mostly like a lot of junk food. But my mother always kept on telling me to go to a nutritionist. So I decided, like, I would say about a year or two ago, to actually look up and see if this is an actual problem. And then I finally found something called ARFID. And everything that is listed under ARFID, like category-wise and like what the diagnosis is and the symptoms, all fits with what I have. Tuna, for example. Tuna, the look of it, the smell of it, just completely is unappetizing and unappealing to me. So like I couldn't even fathom a thought of like trying the food. And like that's the same with like peanut butter for me. Those are just two no-nos.
So a lot of people would like argue, they'd say, okay, well, I don't like peanut butter, I don't like tuna, but I think people like us that have ARFID know that even though you might have like one or two foods that really bother you more than other stuff, a lot of food, you can't even be around it. What would you say to people that are like, okay, well, what makes that any different than me just being a picky eater?
Solely based on the fact that this has been going on my whole life. I've gone to the doctor and he said I have perfect health, which is, I mean, kind of strange for my diet, but like I could just look at a food and already know like this is not for me.
Kyle and I both consider ourselves to be pretty healthy. Kyle has no ARFID-related health conditions, and despite being anemic, I'm doing okay myself. Instead, it's the social anxiety that troubles ARFID sufferers like us the most.
I believe ARFID coincides with an anxiety disorder, so like thinking about like how it would taste and how it smells already just sets me off. When I explain it, some people understand it, some people don't. A lot of people at first are kind of like taken back. They're like, oh, like that's kind of weird. Why don't you eat? Hardest part is definitely if it's not going on dates, and it's definitely just hanging out with a group of friends and trying to pick like where to go to fit my needs. But I hate to be that guy who will be like, oh no, we can't go to this place because there's nothing for me to eat.
Thankfully for Kyle and I, we can find solace in discussing our eating habits with each other. Unfortunately, that's not the case for everyone who suffers from ARFID. Only being recognized for the past 3 years as an eating disorder, there's much research to be done on the topic.
You are literally the first person that I've ever met with ARFID, and we've talked about it before, like what we eat and what we don't eat, and everything that we deal with is literally parallel and similar to each other. Meeting you and finding out that you had ARFID was kind of a relief, knowing that I wasn't the only one who was dealing with this problem. I looked it up on Google and there was a decent amount of information, but it definitely wasn't like a highly researched topic. But I feel like more research will be done to it and it'll be a more known topic, because there's definitely other people out here with the same disorder. People might call themselves picky eaters but not really know that it's ARFID.
ARFID may be the strangest eating disorder you've never heard of, but it's a legitimate disorder that affects children, teens, and even adults across the nation. Signing off to eat some chicken nuggets, I'm Amanda Krause, WRPR News.